from the view on the base at the Mishnah at the bottom. Beishamai Oimrim Be'erev Kol Odom Yate. In the evening, when you say Kriya Shema, not only is it important the time of the Kriya Shema, but it's also important the manner, the way in which you say Kriya Shema. What does that mean, the way? So Beishamai says, Yate. What does Yate mean? You've got to incline yourself. You've got to lean over, basically lie down. V'yikra, and then you recite Krishna. V'boiker, the morning, however, to the contrary, Yamoid, then Krishna has to be recited whilst standing. Shenema. So Beishamai translates those words very literally. B'shach b'cho uv'kumecho means as you lie down and as you stand up. It doesn't just mean at the time that you do so, it also means this is the manner in which Kriya Shema has to be recited. It's got to be said b'shach b'cho as you actually lie down, uv'kumecho as you actually stand up. Look at Rashi. Yate al tzidoi. You should be lying on his side. B'shach b'cho, he understood, is derech shchiva. Now we all know, obviously, that the word b'shach b'cho, literally translated, is b'shach b'cho, as you lie down. But that can be really understood in two ways. Either it means as you lie down, meaning at that time or in that manner. So Beishamai understands that both are true. Not only does Kriya Shema have to be recited in the evening because that's the time that you lie down, but you've actually also got to lie down. Whereas, says Rashi, Ya'amoid, during the daytime, you've got to say Kriya Shema while standing. Why? Diksiv ubukumecho. Because it says, whilst you stand. So he understands again, once again, it doesn't just mean that's the time that you do so, but rather that's the manner in which you do so. So you've got to actually be standing when you say Kriya Shema in the morning. Says the Gemara, Obeis Hillel Oimrim, that no. Kol Odom Koire Kedarkoi. Every person can recite Kriya Shema Kedarkoi in whichever manner he wants. Shenema ubelech techo baderech. It's true, it says in the Pasuk B'shach b'cho uv'kumecho, but it also says ubelech techo baderech. And what does it mean, ubelech techo baderech? As you are walking along the path. When you're walking along the path, neither are you lying down nor are you standing up. You're doing something else, you're in motion. Look at Rashi, the last Rashi on the Omud. Kedarkoi. Oi bekima, oi beshiva, oi beyeshiva, oi mahalach. In any posture you want. You can be standing, you can be lying, you can be sitting, you can be walking. According to Beis Hillel, there is no hakpoda whatsoever in the way you recite Kriya Shema. The only thing that's important is the zman, but not the manner. How does he know? Because it says, "Ubelech techo baderech," says the Mishnah immediately, well, im kein, if that's really true, lomo nemar ubeshach b'cho uvkumecho. He's got to deal with the psukim that Beishamai brought as a source. It does, however, say b'shach b'cho uvkumecho, says Beis Hillel, yeah, that's no problem. That means, B'sha'ah she'bnei Adam sheichvim. Key word over here is B'sha'ah. It's referring to the time. It's the time that people lie. U'B'sha'ah she'bnei Adam oimdim. It's a time when people stand. So as far as Beis Hillel is concerned, B'sha'ah b'cho uv'kumecho is referring to a time of day. It's not referring to a manner in which Kriya Shema has to be recited. Now, there is a very obvious omission from the Mishnah. What's missing in the Mishnah? Both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, both of them brought a pasuk as a source to their opinion. Beis Hillel is based on the opinion Ubelech Tocha Baderech. Beis Shammai is based on the opinion B'shach B'chov Kumecha. Fine, they'll agree to disagree. But surely each one of the two opinions has to explain how he understands the other one's pasuk. Beis Hillel explained that to us. Because Beis Hillel says, I'm coming from B'lech Tocha Baderech, but if you want to know how do I deal with the words B'shach B'chov Kumecha, I'm telling you that I deal with them because I understand that it just means the time that you lie and the time that you stand. But where's the glaring omission? Beis Shammai never told us how he learns Beis Hillel's pasuk. It's all fine and well for Beis Shammai to bring a source from B'shach B'chov Kumecha. That's fine and wonderful. So how do they learn U'belech Tocha Baderech? So there really should be four pieces in the puzzle, and there's only three. What are the four pieces that should be there? Each of the two opinions, number one, has to bring a source. Number two, they have to explain the other one's pasuk. So Beis Hillel did absolutely everything. They brought a source and they also explained Beis Shammai's pasuk. Beis Shammai brought a source, but he did not explain B'lech Tocha Baderech. So Mitz Hashem, we'll see in a minute or so, that's going to be the whole discussion in the Gemara in the next onward. That's going to be the discussion. How does Beis Shammai deal with Beis Hillel's pasuk? Okay, but just before we see that, let's have a look at the last line of the Mishnah. This is a very famous line, and it's a very, very difficult line to understand. Omer of Tarfoin. Says Reb Tarfoin, Ani Hoyisi Bo Baderech. I, on one occasion, was coming back along the journey. Vehitesi Likrois Kedibre Beis Shammai. And I leaned over on my side to recite Kriya Shema in accordance with the opinion of Beis Shammai. Kum to Beis Hillel, there was absolutely no necessity to do so. Even though it's true he's walking back from his journey, but Beis Hillel clearly says you're allowed to be walking when you say Kriya Shema. It says, U'belech Tocha Baderech. But for some reason, he didn't do that. He decided to paskenite Beis Shammai. Now, we know the general rule is Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Alocha ke Beis Hillel. He did not do that. And what happened? Vesikanti ba'atzmi mipnei alistim. And I all of a sudden found myself in a dangerous situation as a result of bandits. So they said to him, meaning they said to Reb Tarfoin, I'm sorry to say you deserve what you got. Kedai hoyisa lochuv ba'atzmacha. Yes, it was kedai, it was worth it, the punishment that you got. Why? She'ovarta al divrei Beis Hillel. Because you bypassed, you transgressed, as it were, the opinion of Beis Hillel. Called to Beis Hillel, when you were walking home, you should have said Kriya Shema as you were walking. B'lech Tocha Baderech has no problem. So why did you decide to lie down on your side? Because you wanted a paskin like Beis Shammai. I'm sorry, that's not the halacha. That's why you got the punishment that you got. What is the obvious, overwhelming difficulty with this line of the Mishnah?
It's okay according to
the kasha is, as you said, according to Rabbi Yosef, yes, according to Beis Hillel, you didn't need to lie down, but there's nothing wrong with lying down according to Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel didn't say that you have to say Kriya Shema whilst walking. They said that you can say Kriya Shema, not that you must. If Beis Hillel would have said that you have to say it walking, and Beis Shammai would have disagreed and they would say you have to say it lying down, so then I understand. If you say it lying down, you have transgressed the words of Beis Hillel. But here, by lying down, you have not transgressed the words of Beis Hillel. Why? Because Beis Hillel says you can do what you like. So to the contrary, what's wrong with lying down? And that way you can satisfy all opinions. Isn't that the best option in the book? So what did he do wrong? Why was he punished for going against Beis Hillel? He didn't go against Beis Hillel. He tried to satisfy the opinion of Beis Shammai as well. But what he did was nothing wrong according to Beis Hillel. This is a very famous question. Does the Rabbi Art Scroll ask this question, Rabbi Yosef? Or Rabbi Yehuda David?
I don't think so at this point, but isn't it in Josephus or something, is it?
It's not in the Tosafos here.
No, it's in Josephus on the next page, I think. So he explains why. And there's a big discussion in the Gemara, actually, of this, this thing later in a couple of pages, I think.
What I think is missing here is Beis Hillel says, yes, he could have done it according to Beis Shammai, but I think the understanding is that you have to judge by context and by situation.
And therefore, what should he have done?
In other words, given that he could have been putting himself into the Kana, he should not have laid down there. That if he wanted to lay down and say Kriya Shema, he could have done it in a safer location. Mm-hmm. In other words, Beis Hillel is leaving unsaid the fact that the fifth chelek of Shulchan Aruch is that of common sense.
So you're saying there's nothing wrong essentially with trying to satisfy all opinions.
Right. I remember very well with Shiurim in Los Angeles from Rav Sauer, Halacha Shiurim, where he said he always strives to stay out of machlokas. If he knows that two sources hold differently, he tries to satisfy both of them.
Right. So lechori, that's the best. But you're saying in this particular situation where there was an element of danger, well, then he should have just gone with Beis Hillel and he should have said Kriya Shema whilst walking. Okay.
Right.
On the next, it's on the next page, actually. Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef.
Where is it? On Daf Yud Aleph on the base?
Yeah, no, Alamed Aleph. Laos or Klum.
It's right at the end, just before the Mishnah.
Yeah. They're
fine. Okay. We'll come to the mystery presently. Okay, so let's begin the Gemara straight away. So as mentioned, we have a difficulty that we need to address. Why did Beis Shammai, or how did Beis Shammai deal with Beis Hillel's pasuk? If Beis Hillel have a pasuk of Belech Tocha Baderech, from which they learn that Kriya Shema can be said even if you're not lying down, and it's all fine and well that Beis Shammai bring an alternative pasuk, but how do they deal with the second pasuk? How do they understand the Belech Tocha Baderech? So let's have a look. This is the Gemara's question. Says the Gemara, Bishloima Beis Hillel. It's all fine and well with Beis Hillel. On the one hand, they explained their own reasoning, meaning they brought a posuk to back up their position. And also, the timer de Beis Shammai. And they also explained, as it were, they did away with the posuk of Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai brought a posuk, so they dealt with that. Elo Beis Shammai. But what about Beis Shammai? Beis Shammai never answered up Beis Hillel's pasuk of Belech Tocha Baderech. Elo Beis Shammai, my timey, What is the reason? Laomri kebeisilel. They did not say like beisilel. What happened? How do they deal with the pasuk of belech techabad derech? Why did they not like Beis Hillel's position? Surely Beis Hillel says, listen, b'shach b'chov kumecha, all it means is at the time that you lie down, at the time that you stand. But not, this is the manner in which you got to do so, but rather this is just the time if you want to do so. What's wrong with that understanding? In addition to the fact, like we mentioned before, we also have to know how the Beis Shammai deal with the pasuk of Olech Techabad Derech. That's coming up in a moment. But for the first question, the Gemara is merely asking, what's wrong with Beis Hillel's understanding that B'shach B'cha Uv Kumecha is not referring to the manner, but rather the time? Says the Gemara, I'll tell you. Omri Lecha Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai will tell you that no. We cannot accept Beis Hillel's interpretation of the pasuk. Do you know why? Because Im Kain, if it was really true, if Beis Hillel was right, that the only concern is the time, the name Makra, let the Torah write B'boiker U'ba'erev. Why does it have to say anything about B'shach B'chol U'Kumecha? Why can't it just say, you should recite Krishma Babaikobar morning and night or night and morning? So why did the Torah have to complicate matters bichlal by mentioning anything to do with lying down and standing up? What's that got to do with anything? My, so what does it mean, quote unquote, b'shach b'chov kumecha? It must mean b'sha'as shchiva. Shchiva mamish. Not just at the time that generally people lie down, but rather it means as you lie down, you've literally got to lie down. Ubashas kima means kima mamish. You've literally got to be erect, you've got to be standing up. So Beis Shammai have explained why they did not accept the position of Beis Hillel. Why did they not understand that B'shach B'chov Kumecha is merely a reference to a particular time of the day? Says Beis Shammai, because otherwise in the Torah should have said, Boiko Be'erev. Who needs to start talking about lying down and standing up? It just complicates matters for no reason. Elomai, says Beis Shammai, what do I see from over here? That if the Torah talks about lying down and standing up, then clearly that's a critical element. So it means you've got to literally be lying down and literally standing up. Says the Gemara, fine, but you're still not out of the woods. Why? Because what are you going to do with the pasuk? Says the Gemara, Ube Shammai. Hi, this pasuk of quote unquote, Ubelech techabad derech, my Ovid Lehu, question mark. What do they do with that pasuk? I understand, says the Gemara, I appreciate you're not happy to learn like Beis Hillel with regard to his interpretation of M'shach B'chov Kumecha, but you've got to deal with Belech Techabad Erech. Surely Beis Hillel have a very powerful argument. Belech Techabad Erech means as you are walking on the path, so what do I see? That you do not need to be lying down, you do not need to be standing up, you can do any motion you like. So how do you deal with that pasuk? That you haven't explained. Says the Gemara, I'll tell you. Do you know what Beis Shammai do with the pasuk of Belech Techabad Derech? Hahu mi boya lehu. This pasuk is required, in their opinion, lechadetanya, for the following brisa. Those of you who were with us when we learned Sukkah will remember this very well. Shift the chabavei secha prat This comes to exclude lo oisek b'mitzvah, the world famous principle of ha oisek b'mitzvah potter min ha-mitzvah. Where is this principle brought to us? It's brought to us mainly in the Gemara over here, and also in the Gemara in Sukkah, daf chaf hei, that if you're oisek in one mitzvah, you are exempt from performing another. What's the makor? It says, b'shivtecha b'vaseicha, only as you are sitting in your house, that's when you are exempt from Kriya Shema. So why are you mukhiyav to recite Kriya Shema? Because at the time I was doing nothing else. But were I to be involved in an activity of a mitzvah, then I do not need to shake. I do not need to recite Kriya Shema. That's what I learned from the words b'shach b'cha ufkomecha. Ubelechtecha baderech prat lechosn. So what does belechtecha baderech mean? This comes to exclude a chosn. Which chosn is this referring to? A chosn on the night of his chasana. Now, why is the chosn on the night of his chasana potter from Kriya Shema?
All right.
You can see one word because he's torud. Torud means he is preoccupied. As we're going to see, what is he predominantly preoccupied with? Because he has to be mekayim his mitzvah, be'ilas mitzvah, and he's concerned, will he discover that his wife is in fact a basula, a virgin, as he previously thought? Now, let's be very careful over here. We're not dealing with somebody who is currently being Mekayim HaMitzvah. If he's currently being Mekayim HaMitzvah, then that's the first principle of Ho'isik B'mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah. We're not talking about that. We're talking about somebody who is torud about an upcoming mitzvah. That's a different principle. Just give me a second, just have to get a bit of a drink. So we've got two different principles over here. Principle number one, ha'isik b'mitzvah. If you're actually involved in a mitzvah, then you are exempt from being mekayim a mitzvah. And principle number two is if you're torud from it. That's a different principle. So, b'shach b'cha uvkumecha, b'shach b'shiftecha b'beisecha, excuse me, tells me, you're only mukhiyav to recite Kriya Shema if b'shivtecha b'beisecha, you're sitting in your house, not occupied with a mitzvah. U'belechtecha baderech prat l'chosn. Now, how on earth do you see in the words b'lechtecha baderech that a chosn doesn't have to recite Kriya Shema? So let's have a look. Says the Gemara, mikan omru. From here, meaning based on this pasuk, the following halacha was taught. Hakoines es habasula. If somebody marries a basula, a virgin, then potter is potter from Kriya Shema. The eso almana, but if you marry a widow, meaning she's previously been married, then chayev, then you are mukhayev in Kriya Shema. Now, what's the difference whether you marry a basula or an almana?
Toru.
Because obviously you're not Toru'd when it comes to an Almana. A Basula, who you married on the basis of the fact that she is indeed a Basula. So he's concerned, he's worried, he's Toru'd. Will she in fact turn out to be a Basula? But Almana, where you know that she's been married before, so clearly she's not a Basula, there's no Tirda. So now, before we see the continuation of the Gemara, let's first see Rashi. Top line. B'shiftecho b'veisecho, prat la'isik b'mitzvah, l'kamei mefarish, mai mashma. Later on, coming up, the Gemara is going to explain mai mashma, which means what exactly is the mashmos? Where do you see in the posuk these principles? Now, if the Gemara brings two separate drashas for these two separate halachas, b'shivtecha b'veisecha excludes oisik b'mitzvah, b'lechtecha b'aderech excludes a chosen, then clearly one cannot be learned from the other. Otherwise, you'd only need one pasuk and not two. With the obvious question being, but surely a chosen is also an oisik b'mitzvah. This is Rashi's question. V'afal gav de chosen nami oisik b'mitzvah hu. Surely a chosen is also, at least eventually, going to be oisik b'mitzvah. So why do I need a different pasuk? Teret says, because ilav kro yisera, if not for the fact that I have this additional posuk, loy nafkalon mikro kamo, I would not be able to learn this out, derive this from the first posuk of b'shiftecha b'veisecha, dekiven de'oisik b'mitzvah loy ksiv b'kro b'hedya, because at the end of the day, it doesn't say absolutely clearly anything about being oisik b'mitzvah, Ela miuta ba'alma. Rather, it's just a mute. The kodoroshinon that we're going to darshan from the word mibeischa. Umma'atina mino. And we therefore derive from over here that you can be memayet oisik b'maleches mitzvah. The ikatirda. When a person is oisik b'mitzvah, there is also a different type of tirida. What type of tirida is there when you're oisik b'mitzvah? It's a physical preoccupation. A person can be preoccupied in two ways, either mentally or physically. When I'm busy oisik b'mitzvah, I'm in the middle of shaking my lulav, there it's not just a mental preoccupation, it's a physical preoccupation. I'm actually physically involved in shaking my lulav. Aval chosen, the tirada, the machshava ba'alma. The chosen, what type of tirada does he have? His preoccupation is with the fact that he is concerned, shemechashev al esek habasulim, that he's thinking about this particular topic of basulim. So that, I think we all understand, is a lower level of preoccupation, of being Torah. So if I've got a choice, and the Torah says, b'shivtecha b'veisecha, remember, it doesn't say oisik b'mitzvah clearly, it's just a mute. So which one will I be memayit? It makes more sense that I'll be memayit, what? When I'm preoccupied in a physical way. But who's to say that even if you're preoccupied in a mental way, you're also excluded? That's why I need another pasuk. Ilav kro yaseira, if not for the fact that I have an extra pasuk with regard to chosen, loy ismait, it would not have been excluded based on the first pasuk. Hakoinesis habsula potur, shetorul b'machsheves b'ilas mitzvah. Again, see, he's Torah. He's Torah with these thoughts of the Be'ilas Mitzvah. So he's preoccupied. So it turns out we have two different types of preoccupation. Either you're preoccupied in a physical way because you are physically involved in a Maisa mitzvah, like you're shaking lulav, or you're preoccupied with your machshavas, because your machshava is on the upcoming mitzvah. Now, not everybody...
Can you say they're really one and the same? Because mitzvah trichas kavana. So even if you're doing something physical, no. You're also in, you know, you're mentally in.
No, because mitzvah trichas kavana is only a kavana that you need to have at the time you're doing the mitzvah, but not prior to doing the mitzvah. Whereas the chassan is preoccupied in his thoughts long before he's makayim the mitzvah. That's the chiddush of this pasuk.
So in the case, if we go back to the Gemara and Sukkah, if I remember correctly, we were talking about a case where you had people going out for purposes of doing a mitzvah, but they weren't actually doing the mitzvah.
Right. But at least it's a physical act.
Okay. But right. It wasn't a physical act at that time. It was just going out. Is it physical being the fact that they were actually going on the way to perform a mitzvah?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
You're right for pointing out, it's a big chiddush, because over there, they're not actually fulfilling any mitzvah, they're just walking to the mitzvah. Right, right. Okay, we have to hold it over here. Mitzvah Hashem, Be'ez Hashem, we'll carry on this time tomorrow.
That's great.
Oh, amen.
Be well, have a good day, everybody.
Oh, yeah, you will too. Drink all.